those who can do. This is Created Now. Here again, your hosts, Jonathan Stone, Dawn Elizabeth, and AJ Boyden.
Welcome back to the Created Now radio show. In studio, we have Jonathan Stone and myself, Dawn Elizabeth, and we have a guest on the phone. So, Jonathan, why don't you introduce our guest for us?
Yes, you can call our next guest a master psychic, a business intuitive consultant, a spiritual teacher, and an entertaining teacher, a personal coach, a career counselor, a hypnotist, a sound healer, or a Reiki master, and you'd be right at all of those.
Nice.
But whatever you label her, she truly isn't a phrase, her client's secret asset. We want to welcome with open hearts and open minds, Amara. How are you doing?
Oh, good afternoon, Jonathan and Dawn. It's wonderful to be with you guys. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on. I'm super excited about our conversation today.
I'm so excited, too, because your whole concept of your show just embodies everything that I do and teach and work with people about every day, which is creating it now, taking self-responsibility and action and making it happen in the present.
Nice.
Yes, I'm loving it. Yeah. So you were in sync here. Somewhere. So, you know, there's that stigma and stuff, and we were talking about this earlier, between a psychic and an intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
And first, like, we're going to really get into this. We want to delve into what it actually is. But can you explain to people so they know what an intuitive is? I figure a lot of people, you know, they hear psychic and then they have this idea of some gypsy with a, you know, a crystal ball or something
neon
like that.
Neon sign in the window. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So we want to just make it clear how powerful this can be. And somebody like you, who's really legit and gets this feeling and everything, and what it brings and what it can bring out and what you see and feel.
Well, the word psychic is the known word, and it is the one that people will search on the internet or I think they understand. I like the word intuitive. It sounds gentler and kinder and nicer because of the cheesy stereotypes that the word psychic has. They're both really the same thing. One just doesn't have the connotations that the other one has, you know, come to be known as in society, soap operas, and the like.
Right.
But basically, you know, being an intuitive or a psychic is someone whose sensitivity, their sensory abilities, are just more finely tuned. Everybody has a gift. You know, Einstein himself was very intuitive. People think of him as a scientist, but yet when you look at him, study him, read his quotes, he put his emphasis on imagination, on really delving into that gray area between black and white to find solutions. The use of the entirety of the brain combined with the heart is what I think defines the difference between someone that is just a little bit intuitive or has a hunch versus someone that really can open themselves to feeling or sensing multidimensional reality.
No, that makes a lot of sense. So do you feel, so is it like more like a heightened awareness where get rid of the clutter in your mind that you can feel?
You know, actually, I have probably more clutter than most people.
Nice.
Because I have no screens. You know, in neurology, they would call it that I'm a hypersensitive, where I am hypersensitive and I have no screens to filter out all of the incoming. And
gotcha.
The best way I describe it, Jonathan, you're in the television business, is I describe it as, you know, we can't easily explain how that television box comes into our house and has a discernible picture. And even more than that, we can turn it on and off at will and change the channel and predictably determine what picture is going to come through on a different channel. It's all done through waves and bouncing through mountains and oceans and buildings, and yet there it is, totally clear. You know, I'm that television for the input from the universe. when I'm directing it specifically for a client, and somehow I'm able to tune into various channels about a client, people connected to them remotely, past, present, or future. You know, people use the word clairvoyant, clear seeing. I'm very visually oriented. I see pictures predominantly. I also do hear voices. That's called clairaudient. And I'm also what they call clairsentient, which is clear feeling, where I can tap into the emotions and the motivations of people, which really helps me when I'm working with business clients.
So then how or when, I guess, did you realize that you had this openness and this more intuitiveness about you?
I've always been aware of it, or if you ask my father, who was always telling me and other adults in my life to stop being so sensitive when I was a little girl, I've always had a higher level of sensitivity. I could feel the emotion before it was perhaps externalized by the person feeling the emotion. I could anticipate that things were going to happen before there was any physical sign. So there would be supposedly or logically no reason for me to be worried about something, or no reason for me to not like something, or no reason for me to worry. And yet, in the end, there was, in hindsight, because I would anticipate, I guess you would say, what was going to happen and not know that that was called intuition or being psychic. I wasn't raised in an environment where I had a mom like me that would explain it and help me develop it. So from the beginning, I could see and feel and sense things, and I somewhat secreted that part of myself because it made life difficult as a child. You know, you are not sure how to interpret the things that are happening around you, and it's something that makes you feel as if there is something about you that is unexplainable, that doesn't fit in.
So as it was difficult growing up, and I can imagine like people being not believing what you're saying, and because a lot of people have that feeling of, I can't see it, so I don't believe that you can. And how have you been able to really go beyond that and get past that, and when other people give those objections?
Well, there's two parts to that one. That's a good question, Dawn. I'm going to handle the second part of that first, if I may.
Absolutely.
When you say, when people give those objections, you know what? I'm not here to prove anything to anybody.
Nice.
Nice. I love it.
And I don't have to prove anything in terms of making somebody believe it. It is what it is. For me, it's not a belief. It's a knowing. This is my life. This is what I get. And if you don't know me and you want to judge it, okay, that's your path. I'm not here to prove anything to anyone. For those that are open, for those for whom I can maybe turn the key in your mind and perhaps unlock and suspend disbelief for a moment, I get really excited about that. Of course, many clients that come to me, they're open, they're ready, they're receptive,
mm-hmm.
And they want to hear.
Yeah.
Those that come skeptically, they may be skeptical at first, and then they come back going, man, you were right, or I didn't believe you, I thought you were crazy, and then they'll call me, and 5 years later, they'll say, everything you said came down. I don't understand it, but it did. My excitement is with that person who comes as skeptic, and I'm a skeptic, believe me, comes as a skeptic, you know, still isn't sure when they leave, but that key in the lock of the door was turned. The door was maybe opened ajar, and I know that they leave here. Maybe not perhaps understanding everything that I do, but when they go out into the world, maybe they'll be a little bit more open-minded in their everyday life, or to another person's point of view, or to suspending disbelief of the possibility of their own dreams. That's what makes me excited.
No, it makes a lot of sense. We actually have a caller, so
cool.
We want to bring them on. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, who's this?
This is Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. How are you? This is Jonathan.
Hi, Jonathan.
Hi. So do you have a question for Mara?
He gave AJ the day off, huh?
Yes, yes.
I've been listening to the conversation. She sounds fascinating. What can I ask? I mean, what would be the ideal type of question? I'm still trying to understand that.
Well, what's on your mind? What are you thinking about that you want to ask?
Well, in terms of I'm borderline thinking about starting a new venture in a network marketing business. I'm already involved in something that I've been doing for quite some time, and this is just a product I will be using. And I just think if I'm going to be using it, I could try and, you know, make it a business.
Absolutely. Right?
And so I hear you saying that you're considering the network marketing product, but you also have something else that you do on this as a main kind of income.
Yes. Well, I've been in direct sales. I'm a director, you know, a leader in my brand for a little over 4 years. So that plate is pretty much spinning. You know what I mean?
What I'm getting, Kathy, in this particular network marketing opportunity is that it's going to take a lot more work than you think to generate the return that you're expecting. Or to put it another way, it's not going to generate the return you're expecting for the amount of time you think that you can put into it. So for me, it looks like it's a hard choice, that it may come down to having to choose between this and something else in order to make it successful. It looks a little fuzzy to me, and by fuzzy I mean I don't feel that all those involved have been realistic with you about what you can generate.
I see. You're talking about the new one that I'm thinking about getting involved in. Okay.
Yeah, the new one, yeah. But, you know, in general, Kathy, for you, your outlook, other than that, looks phenomenal right now for the next 6 months, 3 to 6 months, for generating income, for creating abundance. I feel like recently you've either kind of turned a corner or created something within yourself that has opened the door wider. So if not this opportunity, perhaps another, because you're in a phenomenal window for creating and expanding what I call the green and gold stuff, the prosperity which follows from the abundance for the next 3 to 6 months. I just don't think it's going to be from this particular opportunity.
I understand. Well, this is a product I'm going to try anyway for myself for the next 3 months. It's a health and fitness weight loss product. And I've been reading about it and kind of like it, and I want to try it. It's something different than what's out there on the mass market now. So, like I said, I'm going to join to try it myself for 3 months without really marketing it and just let people come to me if there's a reason for them to see me going, oh, what are you doing? Then I'll say, oh, okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that'll tell you a lot.
All right,
excellent. Kathy, thank you so much.
Thank you so
much
for calling
in. Thanks for listening, Kathy.
Yeah, it's my first.
Nice. So, Amara, let me ask you a question. So, since we just saw it live, heard it live, I guess we didn't really see it. We heard it live and we felt it. And with you talking with Kathy, what is it when you go and work with different business clients? What is it that you do and how do you help them out?
Boy, you know, that ranges from everything from marketing, business development strategy, client development, company formation, to contract negotiation, to legal cases, court cases, to personnel management, development, hiring, firing,
nice.
And how to develop the bottom line. What I love about what I do is that people or companies or nonprofit organizations will come to me often with a problem or an opportunity, and we'll evaluate it, and I can work with them on all those aspects, or if you will, departments. I usually work with the owner of a company or the CEO or a high-level executive who goes back and then presents the advice or the strategy as their own. As Jonathan introduced me, I'm a lot of people's secret asset.
Right.
Most people, especially in business, don't want to go around telling people they consult with me and that I'm their number one advisor. For obvious reasons. I do have a Northwestern MBA, but they don't want to say, oh, my Northwestern's psychic.
Right.
So, So I'm kind of like, I laughingly call myself the Betazoid of a lot of businesses. You know, on Star Trek, the Betazoid was out in the open, but she had a defined role. And I'm kind of the secret Betazoid for the captain of the ship. And it's a lot of fun. I love helping organizations have a more conscious bottom line. So for me, someone might come to me to have a better career or negotiate a better employment contract, or as a client recently in one of your better-known Las Vegas establishments did and has been doing for 25 years with me. But my intention is, in the end, in working with me, we create a more conscious career. We create a more conscious bottom line. We create a company that achieves its profitability with integrity, or with contributing to the world, not detracting, with treating people and employees better, not detracting, with helping people resolve their personal issues or manage their bosses better, rather than getting into negativity or just, you know, dumping it and walking away without ever learning a lesson.
Right. You know, and it takes an amazing person to be able to go in and be that back-end person where you're not taking the credit for what it is that you've helped that company with, letting them be in the lead. I think that's a really great way to help other businesses. It doesn't mean it's not an ego piece. Yes. It's that piece of wanting to help others.
Right. And I really believe that you need that. I mean, I've been in a lot of business negotiations and stuff, and I wish I had somebody like you on my side so I can come back. I mean, the person that introduced us, Jonathan Barbado, who was on the show, like right now, even though he's like a business partner, but he is my like calming aspect. When I like want to react to something, I call him. But to, I could see the benefit of having you, you know, in somebody's corner to feel it, to explain when they come back from the boardroom and go, okay, look, they want to do this, they want to negotiate this, and you're like, wait, whoa, no, this is not right. This is not how we should brand this. This is not the feel, you know, and to be honest with people where they can actually take that inside and then go back to the boardroom and go, look, this is how we do it. And in a peaceful, you know, spiritual kind of way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny. That's exactly what I told the producer of, I think it was Channel 7, who followed me around for a week. And we did everything from they interviewed my business clients in real estate and the hospitality industry and a U.S. government official to having me go up to the Stanley Hotel and check out what Stephen King left behind. And they started out, and I knew this was their intention, they started out, it was going to be aired during Sweeps Week, and they were going to expose this fraud. What is this weird, flaky thing, and how does this person with this blue-chip background do this stuff? And I said to them, I said, you know, what you're going to find in the course of a week is how mainstream this is. That exactly what you just said, Jonathan, that you don't know when you walk into a boardroom or a committee meeting or a meeting at Channel 7 or Channel 9 or Channel 4 News, who just got off the phone with me. And that person has an advantage if they just got off the phone with me. Because before they come into the meeting, not only do we discuss the project or their objectives for their career, their meeting, but we also look at the motivations of everybody in the meeting. And we look at the best way to work with those people, you know, or the best way to present your point of view, or the best way to respond to potential problems that maybe the group hasn't even brought up yet, but that I see coming down the road. I was once working for a Silicon Valley company, and I don't know anything about programming. And it was a venture capital startup company, and they were asking me about the potential success and money, raising money and strategy and all sorts of things. And I said, you know, there's a technical problem in the programming. There's a glitch. And I gave them a description of what it had to do with, but I didn't know what it was. Like I said, I'm not a programmer, but I knew there was a glitch. And I said, that's going to hang you up. I said, before you go out there, do any more public presentation of yourselves, you've got to get your programmers, your engineers, whomever, to get in there and find what that problem is. There's a bug in the system, and it'll take you down. And then I gave them some words that, for me, came through. They understood them. I didn't. And they found it. He called me back, and he said, you know, we found it. There was something. None of us had any idea it was there.
Nice.
Wow. Nice.
So things like that can really help, you know, someone to create it now. to make their dreams happen, to achieve their goals.
Absolutely.
And do so in a less costly way, certainly.
Yeah, as long as they follow that piece as well to make sure that they are, at least, even if they are skeptical, checking it out, making and seeing if there really is that glitch that you say, or otherwise the company could have gone down. It would have been a huge problem.
Exactly.
Yeah, and
the funny part is in the personal side. You know, when it comes to business, people will pretty much take my advice. They see my business credentials in corporate world and with Sara Lee and Nestle and Silicon Valley and Northwestern. They go, oh, she must know what she's talking about. But it's the personal side where people ignore you the most. You know, the person that comes to you and says, oh, what about this new guy I'm dating? And you're like, oh, God, he's trouble. This is your old pattern. They ignore you. And they do that two or three times, and they finally come back and go, okay, I'm not going to ignore you anymore. I'm going to start listening.
Well, I want you to be aware, that's one question I will never ask you. What does this guy think about me? I promise you that.
Nice. Yes. Yeah. Matters of the heart. Getting to that can be a little crazy. But we do have to go to a quick commercial break, and we would love to have you stay on with us. I definitely have more questions.
I know
Jonathan has some. So if you'd love to stay on with us, we'd love to have you.
And absolutely.
Excellent. Yes. So you are listening to the Create It Now radio show. Give us a call, 702-731-1230, or find us on Facebook if you have any questions, and we will be right back.
Hi, everyone. This is New Media Vegas, your Sin City Webmasters in Las Vegas, Nevada.
More than just web design, complete integrated marketing with inspired innovations in delivery of your new media message, putting the groove and the backbeat back in your brand.
The hottest in design trends with the latest innovations in marketing techniques. Call New Media Vegas at 702-517-0184.
Or visit us online at www.newmediavegas.com. Don't forget to check out our online magazine, Sin City Presents, featuring business, technology, fashion, dining, and entertainment news.
702-517-0184. 702-517-0184.
Why wait to accomplish your dreams when you can create them now? It's time to put your dreams into motion. Create it now. Hi, this is Jonathan Stone with the Create It Now radio show on KLAV 1230 AM. Join us every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. We will help you move from a dream state to a create state. Become a part of a conversation on the Create It Now radio show about why some people dream it versus why other people create it. Every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. on KLAV.
Welcome back to Create It Now. The phone lines are open at 731-1230. Here again, your hosts, Jonathan Stone, Dawn Elizabeth, and AJ Boyden.
You are listening to the Create It Now radio show. If you are just tuning in, we are talking with Amara and talking about intuitiveness and how that can really help different businesses. And I know, Jonathan, you had a question from before we went to our break.
Well, yeah, it's a question and also a statement. Sometimes, even when I go into business deals and stuff, you know, thinking about it, you're so in it, you're so involved in it that you can't see outside, like, of the picture frame.
Sure.
And I think that's where you are such a plus, Amara, that somebody can come back out and go, oh, you can feel it, you can see it, you see the bigger picture.
That's a good comment, you know, because often I'll hear that from clients. They'll say things that reflect your statement. They'll say, that gives me another perspective, or you just put it into perspective, or, you know, I can see it in context now. You're absolutely right, because I can look at the microcosmic aspect of them and their role in it, but I can see the big picture of, let's step back, let's put it in a context, not only literally of the business situation, but karmically and spiritually for you. What role is this playing in your life, and where is it leading? Again, literally on the physical level with the project or the business situation, but karmically and spiritually for you and your role, and where is it taking you?
Right.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, no, and it's so important to have. I mean, I wish, I really do, like it's so many of my business dealings and different things like that, that I had that person there that could, my coach as well. So it's kind of like you're like a business coach, life coach, but heightened awareness and psychic all wrapped up in one. But when you have to step into that role, you know, wear many different hats, that's what you do, and you just bring everything into that. Am I correct?
Yeah, I describe it as I've got a lot of tools in my bag of tricks.
Right.
And, you know, if I'm going to work for the U.S. government, as I have, you know, they're not going to hire me as a psychic, but not using that word for obvious reasons. But I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to use my left brain training and skills and business background and education along with that intuitive ability or talent, you know, that I was blessed with, or some days it feels like cursed with, but that I was blessed with, to be able to go into the situation and do the prognostication or the forecasting or the team building or the management training. And I like to say that I'm using my whole brain, you know, I'm using the logical side, that the gift is not that I have intelligence on the left side, if you will, although we have intelligence on all sides of our brain, and not that I have intuition on the right side, although it's in all parts of our brain, but that I have both, and that one and one equals three.
There you go.
Nice.
And I think that's what makes the difference. If you look at all successful scientists and all successful business moguls,
that's what
makes them different. They're not just smart or just creative or just intuitive. They know how to balance all three of those in making a decision, in making an investment, you know, in pursuing something.
Right.
It's bringing those together, and that's what more of us need to learn how to do.
Absolutely. And one thing I want to say to a listening audience about you, Amara, you've been actually investigated and ranked by Simon & Schuster as one of the 65 top psychics in America. So, I mean, people, you have been checked out, and Simon & Schuster has put you up there. I mean, what was that like? Did they call you? How did that come
about? Oh, yeah, that was a multiple year investigation. It apparently someone who had been a client of mine or knew a client of mine had referred them to me or me to them. And they started out investigating. They decided they were going to write this book called The 100 Top Psychics in America. And I just cringed at the title because I thought, oh, God. You know? Yeah. But I went with it. And it took them about 2 or 3 years. And they started out with a list of several thousand people. And they honed it down. They investigated us. They did blind readings with us, you know, having people call. They called businesses, holistic stores, practitioner centers, and asked about, you know, who they'd heard of or what did they know about us. They checked references. I mean, they did the whole nine yards. And this went on. They spent hours. I mean, I spent hours literally with them in interviews, in addition to all of this background work that they did. And they honed it down to 100 psychics for the book, mm-hmm. and they featured 65 of us.
Nice.
So, yeah, that was really gratifying in that it came out of left field. This was a long time ago, in about 1996, the book came out. And it's actually still in print, which is almost unheard of for a paperback book. And I was very grateful for it. But it was nice because it wasn't just something they threw together. It was actually something they researched. And soon thereafter, U.S. News and World Report featured me in their millennial edition. And several other newspapers have had me in their business, actually, in their business sections, talking about, you know, my clients in Silicon Valley or my clients in the real estate industry and what somebody like me does or how somebody like me, you know, ended up using my education.
Right, right. No, that's great. But I have another question for you. So people have gut feelings. And in this show, you know, people are probably listening and go, well, I have a gut feeling. I'm wondering if this is right, if this is wrong. How do you tell people or teach them or explain to them how to follow their gut and what that actually means? And is that being intuitive or is that just like having a bad belly that day? Ate something wrong.
Well, it can be the latter with today's American diet. The number one word and the number one answer, if you take nothing else, is practice. Mm-hmm. You know, we are so desensitized from being sensitive in our society. You and Don were talking before the show, at the beginning of the show, about downtime and turning off the Facebook and the social media and the television and the radio and the noise. There's so much noise around us and we become addicted to it that we can't hear ourselves think. Well, we can't hear ourselves intuit either. Yeah. And learning to be comfortable with the silence, learning to listen for the space between the words, and then, you know, balancing that heart with the head that will give you that feeling, that gut. But it takes practice. And when I'm working with people, I tell them it's just like developing any other muscle. If you're trying to, you know, clean up your pecs, if you're trying to develop your triceps, you're going to do certain exercises at the gym. But most importantly, you're going to do them consistently if you expect results. Your third eye, if you will, your intuition, is really no different. The more you use it, the more you affirm that you are open and receptive, the more information you will be given, and the more you're just subconsciously ready to hear versus someone who dabbles occasionally and expects to be Merlin the Magician. So, which is very common,
right? Absolutely. Oh, of course.
I call them mental New Agers and metafizzlers.
You know? Metafizzlers, love like that. We're gonna write
so
that down.
So, with the practice, how did you come about realizing that you needed to practice it? Was it something you figured out on your own, or did you have somebody help you?
You know, it's a calling. It really is. I much to my parents' chagrin, gave up these phenomenal careers in blue chip corporate America, and I was injured, and, let me back up a step. You know, I did very well in the business world, and I was a senior executive in corporate America before I was 30, and a few steps ahead of my age colleagues. I attribute that not just to hard work and being, you know, diligent, but to my, what they used to call business acumen. You know, I could look at a product or a label or a concept, and I would know whether it would be successful or not, or I'd know what needed to be tweaked. And I think that really helped me advance faster. Right. So that by the time I wasn't even 30, I kind of was burned out. I had accomplished a level that I never thought I would get to, or I thought I would get to maybe 10 years later. And I had an opportunity to break the golden handcuffs and pursue something that I always enjoyed and I always wanted to do, but, you know, I wasn't raised to pursue creative endeavors. Yeah. I was raised to be a doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, you know, if you've got smarts, you're supposed to use them, and all that, you know, artistic entertainment stuff is a hobby.
Right.
So when I had the chance to break the golden handcuffs, I did, and I went to Hollywood, and I pursued an acting career, which had always been a hobby, as I would pursue any other new product. And within a year, I had my SAG card. As you guys know, it takes an average of 4 years to get one. I had my AFTRA card. I was on General Hospital, and I had a lead in a feature film.
Very nice.
So that was going great. But throughout all of this now, there's an undercurrent my whole life of trying to understand myself, trying to figure out why I have these feelings and why I'm attracted to certain things and why does my brain work like this. And so I'd always been a student of metaphysical things and subjects and dreams. In high school, I did a project on dreams and REM sleep, and it always fascinated me. So there's this. And I did, you know, little readings for friends, you know, with my own deck of cards I made up. And I used to go hunting in the wilderness where we lived and find shards of pottery and read them. I didn't know that's what I was doing. I was, you know, kind of playing archaeologist, you know, and I would visions of, you know, who lived there and what they had done and what had happened there came into my head. So I was always practicing developing this natural innate ability and learning how to get in control of it so that it wasn't controlling me. Because it's kind of scary when you get an input of
info or prophecy and you don't know where what to do with it.
Right. No, I totally understand. And it could be scary at times. And one of the other things I want to talk to you about, there's two things. One, Amara, we definitely want you to be a future guest because, you know, your expertise in Reiki and explaining what that is and just continuing because you're at so many different levels and so many hats that you wear. We want you to come back many times over and help out, you know, our listeners and also teach them about these different levels of things. But you know the question I'm going to ask you right now, right? So what
go
do you
ahead.
Come on about the show and where Created Now is going? Well, or me personally, whatever you want to do.
You know, you have to be careful, Jonathan.
You
a morning
can be honest.
Talk show radio host asked me a question once, and this was actually in Colorado, and I was at big AM station, one of the top-ranked morning shows. And he asked me a question about his show and his career, and I'm like, no, you don't want to ask that on the air because he was going to get an offer and a job and go someplace else. And I didn't want to say that on the air in front of his bosses. And he asked it anyway, and I'm like trying to be really diplomatic. Long story short, I tried to be as diplomatic as I could, and within 3 months, he was in New York.
Okay.
And he had a big show in New York.
Okay, I don't know
but, if I... So I will be diplomatic if I get something here we're not supposed to say out loud. But I like the show, and I think it has a lot of potential. I think it has nothing but upward potential. What I get from the show is it's in kind of this fledgling state, mm-hmm. and it needs support. But if it gets that support, and I think it will over time, it's going to go. It can go in almost any direction you want to take it.
Well, we will take that.
I like
yes.
it.
Yeah,
I'm taking notes on it. I want to make sure I have that information.
Okay, people, you need to support us.
I think part of it is your format and your concept. It's what the universe needs now. It needs reinforcement, as you were saying. How do we teach people how to make it happen amidst all this negativity and naysaying that we're bombarded with every day? How do people learn to see beyond those who say, well, you can't do that, or you don't have enough money to do that, or, well, you know, you have to put food on your table. And how do they do that? And I know it's hard. People say to me, well, you don't understand. Those are only people that don't know what I gave up to be doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Yes, there was some catalytic events in my life. I was physically injured. I was written off by the medical community. And it took me away from the traditional stuff and forced me to walk my talk, forced me to come out of the closet. Metaphysician, heal thyself. But we all have our trigger life experiences, and they get harsher when we're not living our passion and our truth.
Absolutely, definitely. And Amara, I want to say thank you for coming on the show today. We really had a great hour with you and lots of information. And like Jonathan said, we'd love to have you back on. So we do want to schedule that, get you back onto our show if you are open to that.
I'm absolutely open. I'd love to come back on. I'm actually going to be in Vegas the next couple of weeks to do a wedding for the daughter
Ooh.
Of a client. I'm very excited about that. But if I may I give out my phone number? If anyone
oh, yeah.
would
absolutely.
Like to
that's,
call me directly.
Yeah, that's yep. what we're going to do now. It's give out your website, your phone number.
Yeah, how can people
cool.
get a hold of you?
They can call me directly at 303-575-1100 or 1-800-677-1308. You can always check out my website, toppsychic.com. That's toppsychic.com. And I will get back to you as quickly as possible. But I'd love to come back, and I think it'll be great fun helping people lay out a plan and teach them some tips and some secrets for how to make it happen now.
Great. Thank you so much, Amara. And
yes,
you are listening to the Create It Now radio show. Make sure you check us out at www.createitnowmedia.com, and we will be right back.